Hebrews 13:2 is referring back to Abraham and Lot. Well, what can we learn from them? That's what we want to think about for the rest of our lesson. Let's start with Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. What can we learn from the hospitality of Abraham that will make us better as we try to show hospitality to others? Well, look at Genesis chapter 18 with me. Genesis chapter 18. And you notice there in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 1 beginning. It says, "The Lord appeared to him," that him is Abraham. "The Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day." Okay, so he's sitting in front of his tent. It's a hot day. "And he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him." Now notice verse 1 says, "The Lord appeared to him." And then verse 2 says, "There were three men who appeared to him." How does the Lord appear to him? Well, it seems as though the Lord does so through the presence of these men who are described in other passages as angels, messengers from the Lord, and therefore they are referred to as the Lord. And so he, when he saw them, ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Now let's just stop right there. Okay, these men have come to Abraham, three men, in the middle of a hot day. And I just want you to notice the very first thing about Abraham that I think jumps off of the page to me, and that is that Abraham is welcoming. He's welcoming. How do you treat an unexpected guest to your home? I've gone door knocking a lot, and not in the past year because of COVID, and everybody's kind of scared of people knocking on their door and cold calling them and things like that. And now we have things like, you know, all these apps that talk about neighborhood. And if you're the one knocking on the door, everyone warns the neighborhood that you're coming. So it's changed things a little bit about how we can go about this work. But I've knocked on doors before, and I've seen people look literally through the windows and then not come to the door. They clearly do not want you to come visit. Abraham has someone come to the door, to the tent door, and he greets these men with honor. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bowed himself to the ground. We learned something already about hospitality. Let me tell you something. I've gone to people's homes before, and even Christians' homes, and because I'm a preacher, and I've held a lot of gospel meetings, and I've been in a lot of different people's houses, I've seen people do it right, and I've seen people do it wrong. Okay? But I've gone to people's houses before, and you walk in the door and the TV's still blaring loud, and the kids are just on their little Game Boys or PlayStations, and they're just on their phones. They act like you didn't even walk into the room. Let me tell you something. That's rude. That's rude. That's not proper hospitality. What did Abraham do? What can we learn from Abraham about when somebody, an unexpected guest, walks into your house? You get up and you go greet them and say, "It's good to have you here," and you put that stuff down for a while. Turn off the TV, get off the video games and phones, meet them at the door, welcome them. Did you know that the term greet, it is used 60 times in the New Testament? 60. And in Romans chapter 16, it is used 21 times in that chapter alone. The word greet is used more in the New Testament than the word baptism. Think about that. Do you think God wanted to get a message across to us about being welcoming to one another? I think that he did. It's the simple things. Greet people. One of the things that we might consider when we have guests even in our midst is the importance of greeting them, making sure that they are not sitting there alone in awkward silence, but greeting people and welcoming them to our assembly, because truly, I am thankful. We should be thankful that they are here. And if you are here as a guest, we are glad you're here. Notice the second thing about Abraham's hospitality, though, as we keep on working through the text. Look at verse 3. Abraham bows himself to the ground. All right, this is just kind of a customary greeting. We might shake someone's hand. Some people hug. I've been in churches where people actually kiss you physically on the face. Not a popular thing right now. But that's how you greet people in some cultures. Well, notice a second thing. He said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. I see that you've come to my tent door. I don't want you to go to somebody else's tent. I want you to stay here." He is insistent, I want you to say. All right? Sometimes when people come to our house, we don't want to even open the door. Sometimes we are hoping that they will just go away. But Abraham says, "Hey, I want you to stay here. I want to talk to you. I'd like to get to know you better." He insisted that they stay. He didn't see it so much as an inconvenience they were there, as an honor and as an opportunity. And so as we think about hospitality, are we looking at it pessimistically? Like, "Oh, I have to do this," complaining about it. "This will be a burden. I've got to stop what I'm doing. This is going to interrupt my schedule." Or are we looking at it optimistically? Here's an opportunity to learn from someone, to get to know someone we don't know very well, to bless them, and for them hopefully to be a blessing to us. In Acts chapter 16, you notice something interesting. After Lydia was converted by the teaching of Paul, she asked Paul, she says, if you've judged me to be faithful, come and stay at my house. And Paul is persuaded by her. And Paul does, with his companions, stay at her home. And then in verse 40, he finally leaves her home when he leaves Philippi. She is insistent that she be hospitable to this guest who has come, because it's not just the plan of salvation, perhaps, that she needed to learn from Paul. There is more that she could learn. There are more ways that she could grow from this visitor who had come into town and it was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so she wanted Paul to stay with her and to be with her. Hospitality then is welcoming. It is insistent. But notice a third quality of Abraham's hospitality, and it is rejuvenating. It is rejuvenating. Look at Genesis 18 and verse 4. He says, "Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree." Why do you go rest yourselves under the tree on a hot day? Well, that's air conditioning in patriarchal times, okay? Go sit in the cool spot. Because I know that you're hot and that it's hot out. "I will bring," notice verse 5, "a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. And after that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant." And they said, "Do as you have said." Hospitality, by the way, is a two-way street. All right? Abraham is saying, "Let me do this for you." And these men don't say, "Oh, no, I don't want this. Go ahead. Go ahead and do it." And so for hospitality to be given, it must also be received. And you'll notice that here. Notice, though, that it's rejuvenating. These men have been traveling. Abraham extends to them the courtesy of a foot wash, because they perhaps were barefoot or in sandals, and their feet would be dirty, because they're not walking on paved roads here or concrete. They're walking on dusty, dirty roads. "And let me wash your feet for you." That would be rejuvenating. That would be relaxing. It would feel good. It would be cleansing. And certainly we can think of someone in the New Testament who washed other people's feet as an act of courtesy to set an example for us, right? Jesus in John 13 says, "I've set an example for you. You should do as I have done." He washed every one of his disciples' feet. It was an act of service, of courtesy. You can also think of someone who didn't wash Jesus' feet. Remember Simon the Pharisee in Luke chapter 7? Take a look at it. That may not be as familiar. But in Luke chapter 7, verses 44 through 46, Jesus actually notes his lack of hospitality towards him. He's complaining about a sinful woman who's washing his feet. And then in Luke chapter 7, he has a little something to say to him. He says, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. You didn't greet me." Jesus noted it. "You didn't welcome me. You didn't greet me. You haven't been kind to me at all. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil." He notices the simple acts of service and hospitality from this woman. He is encouraged by her. He is discouraged by Simon the Pharisee. Well, think about it. As we offer hospitality to others, I like what Dennis said during his Lord's Supper talk about his mom going to visit her, because it reminds me a lot of my mom. where she's always trying to serve you. My mom had a major surgical operation a few months ago, and I went to see her from Ohio. I was trying to help her out, and she's up trying to, you know, she's still trying to cook, and you're like, sit down. I came to help you this time. I don't want to be served. And she said, just get out of my house. She said, that's still my brothers and my sister. Guys, I can't not serve you. That's just who I am. If you really want me to rest, y'all just need to stay away for a week or two, because it's just in my nature to do these things. You know, she's trying to change the sheets. She's trying to cook you dinner. Whenever I come, she tries to make me a cherry pie. I told her, if I'm going to live with you this summer, you cannot make me cherry pie and eclair cake all summer long. I'm not going to fit in any of my clothes by the time we're done. But that's just who she is. I've grown up in a home where there was always people staying the night, always people coming, always people going. And what do we do when we want to show people hospitality? Well, let them have a place to take a shower if they need it. I've gone and preached meetings places, and I've had people fill up my tank for gas so that I had a full tank of gas driving home. I thought, that's awesome. That's a kind and thoughtful thing to think about. I've gone places to preach where I'm there Sunday morning, Sunday night. When I was 16, I was going out an hour away from home, and I would stay the afternoon, usually at somebody's house, and they'd have a room ready so you could take a nap, so you'd have somewhere to rest or look over your notes for a while and just recover a little bit. I've stayed with both of our elders here, and they're very hospitable people. Dennis and Tina and Vernon and Susan, they cook for you. They give you a clean place to stay. They give you somewhere to take a shower. They're a little too hospitable, because I was like, I don't know if I want to go home. But I had a great time at their houses. They're great in terms of doing those things. But that's Genesis 18 hospitality. Let me wash your feet. Let me give you something to eat. Let us cook you something. Go somewhere and rest for a while. That's Genesis 18 hospitality. That's the example that we have. That's the example we should be setting. And it's so encouraging. It's so encouraging when you're a newcomer, a visitor to town, to receive that. So it's rejuvenating, it's refreshing. Let me think about some other people, because this isn't a self-serving lesson. I don't want you to think, oh, the new preacher's in town, he's asking to come over. That's not it. It is our theme this year, and I didn't select the theme, okay? So, but there's some other ways we can show hospitality to people. Think about new parents. Somebody's a new parent, they're raising that baby for the first time. You're not sleeping much at night. You're tired, your baby's getting up, you're having to feed the baby, you're having to diaper the baby. What's a nice way that we can show hospitality to some of those new parents who are in a new situation? Where we can have a meal list for them. We can maybe clean the dishes after the meals get cooked for them. We can show hospitality to them in that way. What about a grieving family? We may not know some of the people who have lost loved ones or some of the relatives, but what is a way that we can show hospitality to them? We can cook for them. We can provide them with meals so that they don't have to worry about that while they're worrying about the things surrounding their grief. What about a new widower? A man who has been married for years, perhaps, and his wife has passed away, and for the first time, he's having to cook meals on his own all the time. I've known widowers in that situation. It's not an easy situation to be in if you're in a situation where you customarily didn't do that in your house. So what's a way that we can show hospitality to people in those situations? What about a visitor from out of town to our assemblies? They don't have a house to go eat at. Can we provide them with a meal? Ask them to go to lunch somewhere. Take them to lunch. If you're close enough, feed them for lunch. Family comes to visit. I tell people all the time when I'm preaching gospel meetings, because it's so hard to remember everybody's names, but I'll say the people I remember are the people that I eat with, okay? Because you have the opportunity to say their names several times while you're sitting there in conversation, so you just naturally learn their names quicker. You recall the names of people who feed you. And here, there is rejuvenation and refreshing involved in Abraham's hospitality.